source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we're live on the air. It is Monday night at 6 p.m. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you this Monday, Dave?
I am absolutely fantastic. I actually got in on time. I didn't come screeching in with 18 seconds left or 38 seconds after you started without me. So that's a great start for a Monday.
I agree. I am doing really, really good, except for some reason I cannot talk right now. I agree. For a Monday, it actually has been pretty good. Minus the fact that my boss got fired today, so that's not very good. But
ooh, no, that's not good.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. So, yep. We want to start off the show tonight to thank the people that came out to see us at the Cresco Opera House and Theater on Thursday. Dave and I and Mr. Matt Gesso, who is the next show after us, we all went down there on Thursday and did two presentations for the this big organization called Rag Bri, which I guess is a big bicycle thing down there. Every year they bicycle across Iowa, and it's a big thing down there. Never heard of them before in my life, and I'm only a state away. But they want us to come in. They're celebrating the paranormal this year, and I personally, for the big crowds that came out, like, we almost, I mean, I'm not over exaggerating when I say we almost sold out the theater. Not sold out, but filled the theater, right?
Well, the second show, I would venture to say from the quick picture that I snapped, there was probably scattered 18 to 20 seats available, and I don't know exactly how many it seats, but it was pretty darn full. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I that really surprised me. I mean, I guess I really don't know why, but for some reason, I guess it always surprises me at how many people love the paranormal and they want to be somewhat a part of it, but not maybe directly a part of it like we are.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, you know, number one, you know, and I say this humbly, but I mean, we did a good job presenting the stuff that we were there to present, you know. It went really smooth. But I think that we really touched the crowd when we said, hey, you know what? We're here for you guys, and we're going to do a Q&A afterwards. And if you want to just fire out some questions, just from your seat, that's great. And if for some reason you're not comfortable or it's more of a personal level, you know, feel free. You can come up, talk to any of us. And I'll tell you what, we all three of us had a line after, after the presentation and after the initial group questions were done. You know, we each had people that kind of came to us and wanted to talk kind of one-on-one, which, you know, I think that I really feel that we made some difference in some people's lives, or at least filled in some blanks for them. So.
Yeah. You and Matt got the questions. I got the, 15-year-olds that wanted to see the videos.
Well, okay. I didn't want to say that. Right, yeah. I wasn't going to say that. I was giving you just full credit there, but
No. Yeah. I will not take credit that I have not earned.
Yeah.
But nope, that's fine. I mean, when you say as a part of the presentation, Dave has 30 years, Matt, or Dave has 40 years, Matt has 30 years, I have 7. they tend to gravitate towards you two. And I can understand that. I'll pay my dues.
Yep. I did love the fact, though, that you added all of our years together there, though. So you're like, as a team, we've got 76.
We had 76 years.
Yeah. I like that. That's a great. That was funny. Yeah, that was good.
So Dave and I just want to take a quick instance to thank the people that came out. Any of them that are listening, you guys were awesome. There were applauses in there that I never thought that I would ever hear, you know, for a presentation before in my life. Just the introduction of our names was like a rouse, you know, like almost a standing ovation.
It was very cool. So
it was, it was a wonderful moment. I know that, they have brought up, I don't know how serious they were about us coming back and doing it again. You know, we'll see. So getting on with our topic for tonight, which I think is really cool. I read a lot of good stuff over the last week on our two. And basically the broad topic of tonight is going to be flying cryptoids, or more specifically the Jersey Devil and Mothman. And so starting with the Jersey Devil, I knew about him. You know, I knew that he existed. I think I've seen shows that have talked about their encounters with him or whatnot. But after reading what I read today, I seriously doubt that he actually exists.
Which one? The Jersey Devil?
Jersey Devil. Jersey okay. Devil.
All right.
Just talking That's about the Jersey Devil now.
Yes. Okay. I think that it is one heck of a centuries-old
legend.
Rumor, legend. Yeah, yep. I was thinking, what's the urban legend? Sorry, there you go.
Yes.
Urban legend. That's what I think it is. I think it's like a 400-year-old urban legend is what I think it is.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing that gets me right there is, you know, it's always been the same New Jersey Devil. Like, it's never been a baby Jersey Devil or anything like that. It's been one. And you know, this started off in, from what I can gather, like, you know, 1790. Yeah. Well, I have 1733, but yeah, the 18th century.
Yes.
You know, when we were first coming, I don't even think the Revolutionary War had happened yet. And they're talking about, this flying creature. Basically, it was described as a flying biped with hooves, body of a kangaroo, the head of a goat, horns, leathery bat wings, small arms with clawed hands, and a forked tail.
That sounds something out of a Puritan Bible teaching class to scare the heck out of children who wouldn't listen to the good word.
I agree. And, you know, it's, you know, I could almost get on board with like some evil creation if it wasn't for the body of a kangaroo.
Yeah.
That right there just like blows my mind. But I think, based on one of the hoaxes, that was done, that's the reason why. We'll get to that in a bit. But, you know, what I didn't know, from the start, is that it also had another name, the Leeds Devil.
Yep.
L-E-E-D-S. I had no idea. Never heard that word before. It was always Jersey Devil.
Yep.
And they're saying the legend starts by the mother Leeds, who had 12 children. And then she, for whatever reason, she didn't want it. She got pregnant with number 13. And cursed it, saying, this is going to be the devil.
Yeah, basically, yeah, right. She, you know, from what I saw, they had 12 children. Her husband was just the local town drunk who didn't care about her or the kids and didn't provide any type of support. So she was trying to, you know, raise 12 children while he was out doing whatever it was that he was doing. And And basically she cursed her 13th baby by legend by saying, you know, if this is, you know, for me having this baby, she raised her hands to the heavens and proclaimed, let this one be the devil. You know, in essence, birthing the devil on earth. But I don't see that happening, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I also read that the husband, Daniel, he started writing an almanac in the 1690s and became fascinated with Christian occultism, mysticism. Some of these words, like, I can't even pronounce, but cosmology, demonology, angelology, and just natural magic.
And vaudevillism.
Was it vaudevillism? I did not read that.
No. I'm referencing back to Cresco.
Oh, I was like, wow.
Inside joke.
Gotcha. Yeah. Still can't do it. Vaudism?
Vaudeville.
Vaudeville? Vaudevillism.
If you were there at Cresco, you would know. You would know what we were talking about. It was funny.
No, could never remember what that word was. Vaudeville. Like, I can say it. So, inside joke, which we don't need to talk about now.
No, that's okay.
But because of the Quakers that were there at that time reading his almanac, they tried to censor him. And then when that didn't work, they just declared him evil.
Wouldn't that just be convenient if we could do that today? I don't like what you're saying. Therefore, you're evil.
I don't want to bring. You know? I'm not even going to bring politics into this. No.
Anything, right? I mean, your boss, you know, one of your friends upsets you. You know, I just want to say you've upset me this evening. So therefore, I think you're evil. You know?
Oh no, I usually just tell them they're very awful people. Well, so I guess it's right along. I just don't use the word evil.
Right? Yeah. Same lines. Yeah.
So tell me what you think of this, Dave, because I think you read probably the same thing I did. About Titan Leeds, which is Daniel's son, one of the 12 children.
Yep.
Daniel turned over his almanac writing to his son, Titan, who then actually competed with Benjamin Franklin in writing this thing. Obviously, Franklin was, you know, the more popular person.
Right.
And because Titan was using astrological content in his almanac, in 1733, Franklin satirically used astrology in his writing to predict that Titan would die in October of that same year. Titan, not finding really any humor in Franklin's joke, published a writing calling Franklin a fool and a liar. Franklin then continued talking about his joke, saying that Titan had actually passed away, that his prediction had come true, and that he was writing this almanac as a ghost.
Which is a very interesting concept.
It is a very interesting concept. But I've heard, this is going to take us off topic here a little bit, but I have heard that is actually possible, that people have written books with spirits.
Yes. I definitely have knowledge of that too, yes.
I do not know what it's called. Like, I was reading up on it, and like the title was there, and I just never bothered to look into it. But I do need to. So the people think that, you know, the people who think that are skeptics think that this is where the legend started, where Franklin was talking about how Titan was writing this almanac as a ghost. That, you know, that was where the paranormal streak went. Not to mention, and this is what did it for me, the kind of sealed the thing that I don't think the Jersey Devil actually exists, and that is Titan using his family crest on his almanac, which I didn't know, but the Leeds family crest, which he used as a masterhead in his almanac, featured a bat-winged dragon-like creature that stands upright on two clawed feet. And I can't pronounce this. It's called a wavern. A wyvern?
Yeah. Wavern, yep.
Wavern. W-Y-V-E-R-N.
Yep.
And it's a creature that bears a stark resemblance to the Jersey Devil, also known as the Leeds Devil.
Yep.
So, I mean, when I read that, just by itself. It was, I mean, all the places for a legend or pieces for a legend are there.
Yep.
So, I don't know. But then, for the hoaxes, which I actually, this is what got me. One of the hoaxes, a man by the name of Norman Jeffries wanted to put a stop to a closure of a local museum. So him and another guy, an animal tamer or trainer, purchased a kangaroo from a circus and then attached claws and glued fake bat wings onto the animal's back. They declared that they had caught the Jersey Devil and it was on display in the museum.
Yep.
What gets me is that it goes on to say 20 years later, he admitted to the hoax.
And I wonder how many people paid whatever the admission was at that time, you know, 10 cents, 5, whatever, to go and see this created entity. You know, it's kind of like the freak show at a circus. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like the early stages of that whole let's go see the macabre, let's go see something, you know, that we don't believe in that's going to kind of scare us, which maybe, you know, really if you take a look at that, you know, maybe that's where we've gotten to where we are now with the paranormal. You know, let's go look at something that scares us, right? I mean, so circus freak shows are really a thing of the past. I mean, I haven't seen one even advertised forever, which is probably a good thing because seeing people that have physical deformities and stuff like that is not like, you know, you shouldn't be putting them in a cage and making fun of them, obviously.
I completely agree, 100%. I think we've become, we've evolved, Dave.
I would question that sometimes, but okay, for this conversation, I agree with you.
For the sake of this exact
situation only, I would agree with you. Yes,
we have evolved. Right. Yes. Where that is no longer really considered entertainment.
Right. At least in the northern half of the U.S.
Yeah, and plus, everything that you could go there and walk through, you know, this freak show or whatnot, you can see online in your own living room.
Right.
I mean, nobody wants to go out anymore to see that because all you have to do is type in freak show into YouTube, and I'm sure it's a, you know, virtual tour.
I'm sure it's just a plethora of, you know, thousands of videos, I would just bet.
But, you know? By the way, nobody go to YouTube and type that in.
Yeah, no, because all you're doing is you know, encouraging people to still do those cruel things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're not going to get into the moral and ethical.
I'm going to change the topic quick. So I'll tell you, and staying on the same topic, but just a little tiny diversion here.
Yes.
I would say, and I didn't do as much research specifically on what you're looking at, although I saw it. I just didn't have time to write everything down here in the last couple days. But I think, though, that the geographical location, the Pine Barrens itself, is just an absolutely perfect setting for some sort of story like this to come out of. You know? I mean, 100%. The place is just desolate. The people that were there, you know, the businesses that were there, they kind of slowly started to die out. And, you know, when there's obviously no, you know, no way to make a living anymore, obviously the people move. And, you know, it still is inhabited, you know, sparsely, but it's still inhabited. But I think I would like to go there. You know, we're going to put that on our list, right? So when we're out that way, okay, when we're out that direction, which we've already talked about many other places out that direction. So while we're out there, not that we're going to spend, you know, a couple days there, but I would just like to drive through, like drive into the location and get out and walk around for 2, 3, 4 hours just to get a feel for the place. Because from what I saw online and from a lot of, like, police officers and firefighters and, you know, local newspaper reporters and journalists. And I mean, people that are, you know, totally 100% credible. the place has a vibe to it. You know, everybody says the same thing. It's got this vibe to it. You go in there and it's just kind of like desolate. Like you're just waiting for something to come out. You're waiting to walk around the next tree and have something standing there.
How much do you think is them doing it to themselves?
Well, I definitely think that plays in. I definitely think people psych themselves up and like, you know, you're going in there. So you're thinking to yourself, holy crap, what if I actually see the New Jersey Devil, you know? And so you're on edge and you're walking and looking. I mean, that's the beauty part about us going there, because we wouldn't be looking for it. We'd be in there throwing sticks and pine cones and stuff and calling each other names and, making fun of how we can't walk more than 300 feet without having to stop and grab our chest and grasp our air and, you know, stuff like that. So we wouldn't even care if the New Jersey Devil was there. Knowing us, we wouldn't even have a camera. So we probably would run into him.
Yeah, and yeah. It would be like, okay, well, since you can fly, can you bring me back to the car?
Yeah, exactly. hey, can you trim your nails before you grab my shoulders? Because really, I don't need any like penetration of those dirty claws in my shoulder blades. But you know, can you go back and get some water and a tank of oxygen for Mike and I? Thanks.
Appreciate your support.
Appreciate your help there, buddy. And let's see what a kangaroo's eat. I don't even know off the top of my head, but you got like a horse head kind of looking thing. We'll throw in a couple of carrots and, and an antler polishing.
A horse head looking thing?
Yeah. What?
So,
you didn't read that about the Jersey Devil? That he had a horse's head?
I thought he had a goat head.
Well, I don't know.
And horse hooves.
Well,
because that was actually...
I saw about 25 different things about him. You know, it's hard to say everybody, you know, interprets it themselves. But, well, you keep talking. I'm going to look real quick and see what my facts are.
Okay. All right. Because I was going to say, because one of the other hoaxes was that they were seeing weird tracks that was kind of like horse hooves.
Yeah, like hooves. Yep, in the snow and stuff. Yep.
Exactly, and a guy actually admitted later to one of the people who were researching or whatever that yes, it was a hoax, that he had faked the hooves in order to, I don't know, gain attention and whatnot. But I mean, this Jersey Devil, especially back then, as far back as 1820, you know, they were having sightings, claims of seeing him all the way in Camden and in Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Yep.
So, I mean, it got further west than just the Pine Barrens.
Yep.
The Pennsylvania Zoo even offered a $10,000 reward if you could capture the Jersey Devil.
Yep. Yep. And I saw that later, and I don't have the exact year sitting in front of me, but later it actually got up to $100,000. Dead or alive.
Did it? I did not see that.
$100,000, dead or alive. So basically, you bring the carcass in, and whatever, they don't care. And we're gonna pay you whatever money you want. So I found what I had found. Okay, so I'm just gonna yell it out here quickly. So
sure.
He's most commonly described as having the body of a kangaroo, the head of a dog, the face of a horse, which is, I guess, that was what I was referencing, the horse carrot joke. Large leathery wings, antlers similar to those of a deer, a forked reptilian tail, and intimidating claws. So that's kind of what the description that I kind of had found. But
that's another. I think that's just another clue or another piece of the puzzle that just would say that it's probably not real because there's four different sites with four different descriptions.
Right.
I don't think it's real.
I don't either. And so and just bounce it back quick before we move on to the, you know, whatever else we're going to talk about with this. And I don't know if it still exists. And I meant to look it up and I didn't. But I had seen a picture of the actual Leeds house that still sits in the Pine Barrens as of like 1934 or something like that. So I'm not sure if it's still there or not, but it was like a solid stone. I would imagine it was like the old mortar and joist, you know, field stone look, you know. Solid stone, though, home. and if it's still there, that would be a great place to go check out.
I agree. I'm surprised that I almost want to say that it's not there, because you would think that you would have, like, it would almost be a historical monument by now.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the same thing.
You know, and I have never, ever, you know, seen anything related to, you know, the Atlantic Paranormal Society, you know, went to the Leeds house and the Pine Barrens to investigate.
Right.
You know, there's never been, as far as I know, and maybe I just haven't done enough research or whatever, but there's never really been a team or a claim or anything that has to do with the Leeds house.
Nope. But I do, and this is going back some years, like about the time when you and I actually first met, there was a couple of paranormal shows at that time that actually did a trip into the Pine Barrens, and they went to the location of the Leeds house. And what I just can't remember is if the actual structure was still there, or at least part of the structure, or if it was just they found it by like a GPS, you know, like they basically had the coordinates and said, you know, let's plug them into our GPS and we'll go walk over there and stuff. And then, of course, as most television shows are today, there was the legitimacy of being in the Pine Barrens at night with just flashlights, which I'm sure is probably pretty scary. And that came through the show pretty good. And then, of course, you know, getting to the location and then somebody getting attacked and somebody getting possessed and then this, you know, whooshing of the trees above them like a dragon just flew over, and then that I kind of lost interest in it because it was good up until that point. But once the CGI,
right up until it stops being believable,
right? Exactly. Yeah. Once the dragon flew overhead, I kind of lost interest in it. But
well, maybe the Leeds house and the Jersey Devil are the inspiration for Game of Thrones.
Ooh. There you go.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it's
I would think it wasn't, but I you know, hey, I'm running with whatever you want to run with tonight, man.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
The Hobie, and I don't know why it did not occur to me again until I read it. The hockey team, the New Jersey Devils,
yes,
was actually named after the Jersey Devil.
Yes.
I just thought they were trying to be creative.
Yep,
me
too.
No idea.
Yep, me too. So, and then I saw that too, and I was like, really? You're naming yourself after a 400-year-old urban legend?
Yeah.
You know, did you read did you see the bit, though, which I thought was interesting, when the police actually thought they had cornered the actual New Jersey Devil and fired multiple rounds at it and struck it multiple times, and it didn't phase it at all, and it took off flying? Two different police forces, like four or five different police officers, plus the homeowner, plus the neighbors, plus a journalist. Everybody saw it. So I found that to be kind of interesting. And I know, and I agree with you. I don't believe in it. I think it's just an urban legend. But they saw something. They shot at something. Right?
Maybe.
I mean, you would hope. Yeah, you would hope.
Maybe.
You would hope it wasn't like your neighbor's cat.
Nope. You're going to love this transition.
Uh-oh.
Maybe it was the Mothman. Ooh. Mic drop.
There we go. As he walks off the stage, leaves everybody in awe, jaws laying on the ground.
I got to... I'm seeing barf from... Spaceballs, be like, nice dissolve.
Yeah.
just kind of coming in.
Exactly.
Is there anything? I think I've said what I want to say about the Jersey Devil and the fact that I don't believe that it's actually real. Do you have anything to add before we go to our commercial break?
I don't really have anything to add other than I will say from a personal standpoint, I kind of love the urban legends that can survive as long as this one has. So I have to respect it in the fact that people, you know, I mean, 1735 to today, and people are still talking about it. They're still writing about it. There's still shows about it. That's just fantastic. I got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, you know, 400-year-old legend, no proof ever recorded in 400 years. I mean, and people are still chasing it around. I just got to give it props for that. So,
I agree. But, you know, I almost want to say that, you know, maybe it's just a really, really large vampire bat that they're seeing and they're mistaking for that. And it just keeps, I mean, because they're real, obviously, vampire bats.
Yeah.
And so
they're small, though.
Are they? Because there's actually.
They're tiny. The fruit bats are the great big ones, like in South America, them great big guys that hang upside down that you see like the size of a flying cat. Those are fruit bats. Vampire bats are actually small, little guys.
I do think they have a race of vampire bats that are actually large. They're like, what are they called?
Probably from Vlad Dracul.
Yeah, they're like king vampire bats or something like that. But I have seen shows where there is a breed of vampire bat that is enormous.
Big? Okay.
Yeah, I would probably say like your fruit bats.
Yep.
And whatnot. But
well, that's a big bat. If it wants to bite your neck and drink some blood, that's a big bat coming at you.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And if I'm there looking for the Jersey Devil, or if I'm by the Pine Barrens and I see this thing flying through the sky that's, you know, got a wingspan of 8 feet.
Yeah.
I might mistake it for the Jersey Devil. I make this claim that I saw it, and, you know, the legend continues.
Yep. Honey, hand me the gun.
Yeah, pretty much. And in this day and age, that's exactly what I would say. I need to get my gun.
Yep.
Even though all reports of anything that has ever been fired at it, including a cannonball, has not fazed it.
Has not fazed it, correct.
Has not fazed it.
Yep.
So, I guess make up your mind, make up your own mind, I should say, about what you believe. Dave and I think, are on the same page in that. So, we're going to go to break here. So, we'll be back, I don't know, somewhat shortly.
Somewhere between 2 and 10 minutes.
Yes. almost like Love Connection, 2 and 2.
Yeah.
2 minutes, 2 seconds. So, we'll be back. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with the Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para X Radio Network.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
And we're back. Well, I need to do that from now on. I should be like, and we're back. Da-da. I don't know.
No.
But like I said, it's a good Monday. So I'm not one of those. Yeah, we're back.
Well, that's true.
We're talking amongst ourselves.
That's right. No.
Devoid of all emotion and will to live. Because it's Monday.
No.
Nope. So the reason why there was like a gap there before our commercial started is because I got this brand new 8 terabyte hard drive, which I guess has to warm up when it's not being used for a while. And so I'm like, yes, play the commercials, and nothing happens. And all of a sudden I hear this ring with his boot, you know, starts to, I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm going to have to use the other one. I'm not going to use that anymore. I don't like gaps of silence. So with that said, I just wanted to explain that to everybody and why I was like, are you kidding me, to Dave? But so even though my transition like stopped cold there, the second topic that we wanted to talk about, which I actually do believe is real, is the Mothman.
Yep.
You with me on Mothman. That one, Dave?
Love.
I was going to say, yep. Like, you weren't talking.
No, well, that's because you're breaking out on me really bad. Sorry. You know,
yeah,
love
no,
our
I know.
Hosting program here. So, but yes, the Mothman. I totally 100% think that there is something that has been labeled the Mothman. Do I think it exists? Absolutely. I think that there is something there that is seen when it wants to be seen and has the ability to not be seen when it doesn't want to be seen, which is, I think, similarly goes along, at least to me, into the Bigfoot kind of category. But the really big question, you know, after doing a bunch of research on this here for the last week, and, you know, we all know the basic stories, I mean, obviously, of what happened and the bridge collapse and people passing away regretfully and stuff like that. And the fact that everybody saw this flying kind of cryptoid entity that looked like a 6 to 7 foot tall man with wings on his back, with giant glowing red eyes. The real question that I came down to personally was, is this a harbinger of death, or is this some type of interdimensional / alien / piece keep your trying to stop using?
Dave, you're breaking up.
This break.
I think we're going to have to turn off our video. I think that's eating up too much bandwidth.
All right.
So, anyway. Still with me, Dave?
Yep. I got you.
Okay.
We're just frozen.
Good. We're just frozen. Yeah, I turned my video off. It eats up too much bandwidth. You're trying to turn it off?
Yep.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. And that's the one you were going to toss out the window and then jump out the window after
and I can't
elbow drop
back
it?
On. I am. You ruined it for me. That is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it from the second story, though.
That's, well, that's what I said.
Hate this laptop.
all right. So repeat what you said, because you broke up during that whole thing.
Oh, did I really?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, I don't know if, you know, the big question for me after doing a bunch of research was, I'm not sure if, like, the Mothman, and I say that in air quotes, is a harbinger of death, which is what some people consider it to be, or if it is like a interdimensional being / alien / peacekeeping type of entity that was basically trying to warn everybody, stay off the bridge, stay off the bridge, stay off the bridge, there's a problem. And that's why it showed itself on top of the bridge. So there's a ton of evidence both ways. To me, though, I guess it comes down to, if it was seriously flying down, chasing people, scaring the heck out of people by the TNT mounds and stuff like that, then how would you consider that to be a positive entity, right?
I agree. You know, the thing is you know, I read like the synopsis of the movie, The Mothman Prophecies.
Yep.
And then today, I was reading like a completely different version of it that obviously mentioned the guy who Richard Gere played. And for whatever reason, I'm John Keel?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yes.
I
believe.
Yes. You know, and he was barely mentioned, whereas the movie was like surrounding his experiences.
Yes.
And I'm not sure how to distinguish between the two, which one is accurate, which one is not accurate. Because I know that obviously what Hollywood does is they take, you know, the based on the true story and, you know, they exaggerate certain things. And there's a lot of things.
You're so cynical, Mike, when it comes to Hollywood. You are so cynical.
I am. When it comes to the paranormal in Hollywood, I am completely cynical. Not to change the subject, but even The Conjuring was, even though it was based on a true story, some things were exaggerated in order to make it a more interesting movie.
Right.
And even though the story itself, I don't know how it could be more interesting.
Totally agree.
But, you know, he was showing himself all kinds of places, not just the bridge. I mean, you would think that if he was there as like a symbol of, you know, of impending danger to warn people away, you know, what was he doing the rest of the time? I mean, because he was seen by hundreds of people away from the bridge.
Right. Right. And you know, by the TNT mounds, by the old, like, factories and stuff like that were over there, the manufacturing facilities that were abandoned.
Yep.
You know, and I did not know this, so I got to say, I thought I knew a lot about the Mothman. Because it totally has interested me for a long time. But from research today, from what I could find, the first actual sighting of the Mothman was November 12th, 1966, near Clendenin, West Virginia, where five men were in a local cemetery digging a grave when and I put this in quotes, a brown human being lifted off from some nearby trees and flew over their heads. And mm-hmm. I had, up until today, I had not ever heard that, which I was like, I love that. Absolutely love that. I love the show. I love the fact that it causes me to have to go dig deeper into things that I think I'm intelligent about and that I actually get to add to my knowledge. I love that. So
that's right. We are not only expanding the knowledge of our listeners, but we are expanding our own minds.
That's correct. Do 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 do
do do do do. I was going to say something, but I'm not.
Okay.
So I was going to try to be clever, and then it got stuck in my head, so I wasn't going to do it.
Okay.
It would have come out stupid. So,
interesting that they, you know, that they were the first ones to see it, and then they were so freaked out about it they didn't say anything about it until after the fact, you know, until it had been made light, type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and what I didn't know was that how many people saw it on like that first night, because I think it was only like a week later, you know, two couples saw it and then they reported it.
Yep.
And then there were sightings of another, you know, three, four, five, I think, people later that night that saw it.
Yep.
And it was what, a year before the bridge went down? I mean, what was it trying to build up to?
That's a good question. And I could not find anything that linked all of the data together to that fact.
I agree. And you know, I wonder if, because just by the way these people were kind of describing their encounters, like it almost, because I know one lady that said she saw it. It was like 7 feet tall, yep. Had the red eyes, had the wings that were, you know, closed on its back. And she's like, and it's like he just looked right through me, like he was seeing right into her. You know, was he looking for something? Was he looking for a particular person? You know, what was he doing for that year if he was there to, you know, stop or not stop, but
destroy the bridge, you
know, warn people
right.
that the bridge was going to collapse.
And on the flip side of that, and I'm hoping that, I'm hoping that was the case. I'm hoping that he was there trying to warn people and not be the cause of the collapse. But that said, you know, you mentioned an absolutely great topic there, and we're going to kind of transition a little bit right into that, is that a substantial number of people who were either in contact with this entity or saw it from a distance even, or up like on perched on a building ledge, you know, looking down at them or whatever, a substantial number of people make the same claim that they felt like they were basically probed without being physically touched, you know, that this thing had the ability to look into their soul, look into every single aspect of their being, and they felt violated. And that was like a common theme across the what I would consider the majority of the legitimate evidence, you know, that's out there for this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what was he looking for, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, he spent a year doing it, and then the bridge collapsed. So it's almost, you know, a lot of people are like, well, it was never seen since. And that's accurate. I mean, it just kind of disappeared right after the bridge collapsed. But, you know, you almost wonder if maybe the bridge stopped his search. Maybe he found what he was looking for, and it died on the bridge.
Maybe. I mean, if it was an interdimensional being, maybe somebody that was in one of those cars was going to, you know, given
time.
Be
the first mutant.
Right, well, I'm just saying, you know, given time, maybe they were going to be some sort of either terrific world leader or some horrific world leader, you know. I mean, just playing devil's advocate and bouncing, you know, best and worst kind of thing. So, you know, who knows what its intentions were, but maybe it was there to kill somebody who would have been a great leader for our world, or somebody who would have been, you know, the next Hitler, you know, and maybe it took him out type of thing, right?
You know, so I just had a thought come to my head, and probably is going to make probably has no bearing on the case whatsoever. But, you know, for some reason, my mind flashed back to The Matrix, Part 1.
Yep.
You know, where Neo is in the Oracle's thing, and she's like, you know, don't worry about the vase.
Right.
And he's like, what vase? And he turns around and ends up knocking over the vase.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And he's like, no, I said don't worry about it. She's like, you know, here's the thing that's really going to get you. Would you have knocked it over if I hadn't said anything?
Right.
So, I mean, I wonder if, from another aspect of it, and I don't think it'll ever be proven one way or another, but would the person or whoever, if he was searching for something, be on that bridge had he not spent the year, like, kind of putting the pieces into place in order to get them on it?
Correct. Lure them there, right.
Well, exactly. I mean, if you think of the movie and the thing that I read about the actual encounter had nothing to do with the movie or the John Keel played in it. But, you know, his big thing was it was a warning to get to the bridge, and he saved the cop who was, you know, supposedly supposed to die.
Yep.
So, I mean, you almost wonder if that had any sort of bearing in reality, if maybe everything that he was doing and all the people that he was interacting with, you know, he knew were credible witnesses to try to get, you know, this John Keel there, these other people there to get him on the like, if the whole year was one big plan for this one moment, and then as soon as that was done, he was no longer needed.
Right. It was time to move on. Yep. And so, I was going to say, And sorry if Mike and I are kind of chopping into each other because we can't see each other right now. We're flying blindly like a vampire bat. But I found an interesting thing on one of the sites, and I didn't write down the site name, but it was really good. Had a ton of really great information that I've been looking at for the last couple of weeks here about this topic. So in the 13-month period leading up to December 15th, 1967, which was the day of the collapse of the bridge, there were 36 documented reports of sightings of the Mothman. And they ranged everything from a father and son who were out walking through the woods hunting to a group of four guys who were doing remodeling work on a house to a television news reporter to two police officers who were on patrol to a group of a couple of women who were coming home from some church event. I mean, the broad spectrum of the people that are reporting this, it isn't, I guess what I'm trying to say here, you know, and put it in a nutshell, is it wasn't the town drunk stumbling out of the bar going, oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. You know, these are people who are like highly respected in the community. And in 13 months, there were 36 documented reports that the people actually put their name on a piece of paper. This is what I saw, swore to it, and attested to it. That's a big deal in a small town.
Yes. Yes, it is. So you almost have to ask yourself, was it intentional? Did he intentionally show himself to these people for one particular purpose?
All right. Well, let's take that, because we are running, as I'm looking at my clock here, we are running out of time, and we could do a whole another hour on this easily from the stuff I have sitting in front of me. I've got about 3 hours of conversation, but so let's jump forward, and then we're going to jump back. Okay, you good with that?
Sure.
Okay, so we're jumping forward. So let's say that your theory is close to what was happening. Okay, so he was showing himself to put pieces into place, because some tragic event was going to happen, or some special person was either going to be saved or was going to be taken, okay?
Okay.
So, that in mind, since April of this year, there have been 21 reports of Mothman sightings in the Chicagoland area.
Yes.
21 reports from people who are credible witnesses. Once again, not from your town drunk, not from, you know, people who, you know, 12-year-old kids who were playing a prank on each other in the dark. Credible witnesses, people walking their dog. You know, one of them, again, was a couple of police officers who saw a gathering in the street in this town and went to see what the kind of the commotion was, because everybody was kind of excitedly talking. And they took the, they got out of their squad car, took their flashlights, shined them up to the top of the apartment building, and saw a winged 7-foot-tall entity with red eyes that flew away when they both got their spotlights on it.
Yep.
So should we, as a society, be paying closer attention to Chicago? Is there something going to happen? In essence, what is April? I'm just doing quick math here. So six. So is there going to be something that's going to happen next May in Chicago? Is 13 the lucky number? Is it 13 months since your first sighting? And if it is, it would be May. May of 2018. So is something May of 2018 going to happen in Chicago that is going to be noteworthy?
I have figured it out, Dave.
Okay.
Just by you saying that.
Okay.
The Mothman in Chicago is here for the opening weekend of Avengers Infinity Wars.
Mm. Well, that's it. All right.
Which
well,
is coming out now in May of 2018.
We appreciate you listening to the show tonight. Mike just got the thing. I mean, I didn't even... That's why I love you, Mike. You're so smart.
I'm sorry.
Just blew right through that. Yeah. No, that was beautiful. All right. How many commercials can we play?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had to. You said May of 2018.
I know. It's okay. So
back to the seriousness of this, though.
Yes.
If that is the case.
I mean, are we in for some major, huge thing, you know, in May of 2018? I mean, I'm marking my calendar. I just got to say, as a person who loves the paranormal, I'm marking my calendar. May of 2018. Is something big going to happen in Chicago?
I guess we'll find out. I mean, especially if the sightings, continue. I mean, yeah. you got to have that.
Right.
If all of a sudden, it becomes September, 15th or whatever, and nobody sees them again, well, and nothing happens, you got to ask, why was he even there?
Right.
But the thing that kind of captures me, though, is the description of him to the people that have kind of gotten a clear sighting, say their description is different.
Yes.
Just a little bit different.
A little bit different, yes.
Than what the Mothman of Point Pleasant looked like. So you would think maybe after all of these years, maybe we're looking at either maybe another one or maybe the son of Mothman.
Well, if it's an interdimensional being, it certainly could be from the same civilization, the same race, the same tribe, whatever, but not be the exact same entity, right? So, I mean, yep. It would look similar, but it wouldn't be the exact same one.
Yep.
So, Yeah.
Just blow your mind, people? Boy,
if we didn't, if we had another hour, I could, because I got some really cool stuff I wanted to talk about. So we're actually going to have this on another show somewhere down the line here. We don't like to do, show, one right after another that are the same thing, but...
No.
Well, yeah.
Come on. I mean, Matt's not going to mind if we take over his hour.
All right. Matt, are you listening?
I don't even think he's even in the chat. He's not even ready. Oh. I mean,
well, then fine. All right. We're going to take another hour. So,
unfortunately not.
I will say this, though.
Cliffhanger cat. There we go.
Yep. I just want to throw this out there, and this is food for thought until the next time we talk about it, okay? So, on this one site that I was checking out, all right, there were four recent documented contacts with the Mothman. And I mean recent. I don't mean recent like this year or in the last 6 months. I mean recent like more recent than Point Pleasant, okay? One of them was 9/11. And I'm not sure, they're probably faked with today's, technology, but... supposedly, if you look through the photos from the 9/11, the whole incident, that there are pictures with a very large man bat type of entity thing that are on the Twin Towers prior to the attack. And it's like a week before that they actually have them photographed. The next one is the I-35W bridge in Minneapolis. I saw a photo that I tried to debunk. I couldn't debunk it. It's just food for thought. I'm not saying it's real. I'm not saying it's not. It's very interesting. Look it up. The other one was the swine flu outbreak in Mexico in 2009, where they saw the Mothman come down, and then a lot of negative things happened after that. And that's all I got. Well, I have more, but that's all I'm throwing out there.
Right.
I'm saving my notes.
I would have to see. I think I have seen a couple of these photos. You never know with today's technologies how good people are with Photoshop and everything.
Yep, regretfully.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of effort to go back to a picture before they fell and be like, hey, this was a week prior or whatever. Right. Maybe they were actually there a week prior, and then Photoshop and one in there.
Right.
But we will definitely be talking about this again, especially if the sightings continue.
Oh my God. Yes. Yeah.
So,
put that on the list. Which is, all right. Our GoFundMe page, Dave and Mike are traveling to see the paranormal. I think that was the name of our GoFundMe page. So it's Dave and Mike's Excellent Adventure.
Doesn't exist.
Well, it doesn't exist. But that's okay. It's good for radio. And we're going to Chicago to track down the Mothman.
Sounds good.
All right.
So, yeah. So, again, if you need to get a hold of us, that pretty much does it for tonight. Facebook, Odyssey Files Radio, Odyssey Paranormal Society on Facebook, and OdysseyParanormalSociety.com. And this show will be up on that one. I want to wish everybody a good night and a happy Monday. And Paracave should be starting right about now.